Hi, this is Michael Waits, and welcome back to Globe Change. You're awesome. Now, Globe Change is the Uniqlo podcast in collaboration with Nextstep and Michael Waits Media. Uniqlo is Thailand's first student-run organization to provide university application and other insights through events in its online platform. And Nextstep is an advanced experiential learning organization based in Asia, providing internships, study abroad programs, and learning expeditions for high school students, university students, and businesses. The Globe Change podcast features stories of accomplished and inspiring Southeast Asian high school graduates, that's you, by the way, that are now in colleges and universities across the globe. And on this episode, I am joined by Pimmy Sung Swang. How are you?
I'm great. Doing really well.
How did I do, by the way, with that? I liked the way you interrupted me at the beginning. That was great.
Yeah, I just thought I'd shoot my voice in there.
That's okay. That worked well. Where are you right now, actually?
Right now I'm in Bangkok, just at home.
So are you home for Songkran?
Yeah, I'm just back for the holidays, but I'm going back soon.
For how long?
So I've been back for 4 weeks.
Ah, what is that a Cambridge holiday as well?
Yeah, so our holidays are 6 weeks long. The first week of the holiday I spent traveling in Spain, and then I'm here for 4 weeks, and then I'm going back a week early before term starts.
Okay, that's awesome. So where did you go to high school?
I went to Shrewsbury International School.
And did you go there the whole time, like from beginning to end, or did you go in the middle?
I went straight from kindergarten. So I started Shrewsbury in year one, and I went all the way until graduation. Yeah.
And what was that like for you? Like, how did you find that whole experience of being at an international school?
I thought it was really great because I made some amazing friends from all around the world. And so it really sort of, I hate to sound cheesy, but it like expands your worldview because you get to talk about all of their experiences growing up in different places. And I really enjoyed being there for a long time because school sort of became, it felt like home to me because I was so familiar with it. Everyone knew me. And so it was just a really nice place to grow up, I think.
Where did you live when you were in Bangkok? Just out of curiosity.
So I live in Sathon, which is like 15 minutes away from school.
So that was the question I was going to ask you, right? Because depending on where you go to school, right? So some of the other international schools are on the other side of town, but Shrewsbury is actually right up against the river. So if you live in Sathon, it's a lot easier to get to, yeah?
It is, yeah.
And did you live there the whole time you were going to school?
Yeah, been living here my whole life.
Wow. I didn't know that. So What was the, like, how was your high school experience as you got older different than sort of your lower level school experience there?
Definitely in the lower levels, I just had a lot of fun. Like in class, I just really enjoyed learning and I didn't take studying seriously. I just sort of absorbed what I did in the classroom and sort of just went with it. Whereas in high school, I was a lot more serious. Once the exam started setting in, I studied a lot more. I had more sort of extracurriculars and leadership roles to deal with. So it was just a lot more serious, but I still did have fun with my friends and everything.
Can you just talk to me a little bit about what this head girl or student council president style experience is like in high school?
At my high school, head girl and head boy is sort of, we're like the communicators between what the student body is thinking, what's going on, like in the hallways with sort of the leadership of the school. A lot of what we do is sort of being the ones who give speeches and almost like the face of whatever message they want to convey. But the way our school works is we have a team of people, like six people called the executive team. Sounds a little pretentious, but that's what it is. But yeah, the people who did the most work though are the senior prefects because they're really in charge of like organizing all the meetings and all that administrative stuff.
But so how does somebody find themselves in a leadership position, right? I find this really interesting. A lot of the people that I talk to don't sort of look for leadership. It just kind of comes to them. Did you find that it just kind of came to you, or was it something you had to actively search for? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So definitely in schools, quite easy for me because all the teachers knew me. So when it came to leadership positions, like prefect roles, everybody applies. So I applied, and then you get sort of, you apply for the executive role if you want that, and you just get selected through that. So for me, it was nice because everybody knew me. But in school, I know a lot of, like now a lot of people like to start clubs and do their own thing, which I think is really cool and entrepreneurial. Like my friend started Operation Smile at the school, and I think that was a really bold move because it wasn't really the track that everybody else goes through.
Operation Smile is actually a really interesting organization, not just in Thailand, but globally. So we can talk about that later if you'd like. But I'm really interested in this leadership position. So it's not something that's elected from the student body, or is it?
So the way it works is with the prefect selection, which is the first step, it goes by votes. So most of the prefects are decided by who gets the most votes, but it's still the sort of the head of senior school and the principal like helping to choose the final selection of prefects. So it's not that democratic in that way. But then when it goes to the exec team, it's even less democratic because the votes sort of shape who's going to be selected, but ultimately the decision comes down to who the head of senior school wants to work with the most.
Got it. So let me ask you this. So Shrewsbury is a uniquely British institution, right? And is there a reason why you and your parents decided that Shrewsbury was the right international school for you, as opposed to maybe, ISB, which is much more American style, or NIST, which is very sort of international in itself and very IB related? Like, I'm just curious, like, how that decision gets made internally.
Okay, I'll be completely honest with you. My mom was the one who chose my school completely based on which school was closest to my house.
No, that's fair though. Like, that's fair, and I think that it's actually a really interesting answer, right? Because there is a little bit of what I'll call parental convenience involved in sort of all sorts of parenting, but that's kind of neat in a way.
So if I ever forgot a PE kit at school, when I was at school, I'd
I
just
got
sort of call home and be like, someone motorbike it to me, please.
it. Please, Mom, please help me out. That's kind of cool though, I think. And I'll be honest, so we originally put my daughter into ISB, and it was really far away. And we moved her to NIST because it was just more convenient at some level. I mean, there were other reasons too, but the reality is that it was just closer.
Yeah, it makes a big difference.
What makes a gigantic difference? I mean, imagine if you had to go, I'm not going to name them, but just other schools, the time sink, and that's what we called it actually, the time sink of just sitting on a bus or sitting in a car or having the driver take you somewhere. It's just like it's so much time and it's not really productive, right?
No, it's not. And it's very draining when you have to wake up extra early just to beat the traffic to get to school.
Yeah, and to be fair, NIST this year actually changed the times that students need to be at school, because studies have actually been done that say that the earlier the kids get up and the later they go to bed actually impact their ability to study at school. So actually proximity matters.
I wish they did that with my school. I would have loved to wake up a little later.
Yeah, but they do. So I don't remember the exact times it changed, but Kyla now needs to be at school at 8:30 as opposed to like 7:40. I can't remember the other time, but it's a very different metric actually, and better. Anyway, so what else did you do in high school from an extracurricular perspective?
I did a lot of sports. Almost every day I was doing sports training. It was just, I really enjoyed it. I also did drama, so I did a few productions. And I also did this trip with the biology department to South Africa, which was really cool. So it was a conservation research trip.
Oh, wow. Did you get a sense when you were going to school that you were not sort of involved in the regular Thai educational system, right? You know what I mean? In the sense that, like, I sometimes talk to kids that go to private school and they don't even realize they're going to private school, because it's the only thing they've ever done. Like, did you understand at some point during the schooling process that this was a different track?
Yeah, I realized that like when I was quite young, I had a very different educational experience to others because a lot of like a few of my cousins, like most of my cousins went to Thai school, and I just noticed how different our personalities were just based on the schools we went to. And
Interesting.
also at the start, my mom was going to put me into Thai school, but then she thought international school would be a better track for me.
Why do you think she thought that?
Okay, so my grandma is British, so I think that also influenced it. She probably wanted me to sort of develop my English, and I'm not really sure why she decided to put me into international school, but maybe she thought there were more opportunities. Maybe she wanted me to go to university abroad. I'm not 100% sure what was behind the decision, though.
Okay, so refresh my memory. That means if your grandmother is British.
So that means that my mom is half British, half Thai, which
Got it.
makes me three quarters Thai, one quarter British.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not so interested in the quarters, right? So my daughter's half this and half that. But that it's interesting to me, but that actually makes it very interesting. Do you have brothers and sisters as well?
Yeah, I have one older brother.
Older, and where did he go to school?
So he went to Shrewsbury as well, did the same schooling as me.
Okay. And where did he end up going to university?
He actually didn't go to university. He went straight from high school into aviation school,
Oh, wow.
and he did that for 2 years. Now he's a pilot. So yeah, he's
Wow.
been with two airlines, right? He's on his second airline.
So when you graduated from school, or when you were thinking about graduating from school, was it just clear that you were going to go to school in the UK, or did you look at schools in other places as well?
I applied to the UK and the US, but I was heavily leaning towards the UK just because I had family there and the fees are lower.
Yeah, it's really
Yeah.
interesting. So I had a meeting actually last week with the college advisor, and they were like, look, a lot of people are sending their kids to school in Europe these days because, no matter how successful you are as a parent, like college tuition and college fees in Europe and in the UK are just much more reasonable than they are in the US these days, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
And it's not like you ended up at a bad school either.
Yeah, pretty decent.
So when you were going through high school, did you get the sense that you were going to end up at Cambridge? You know what I mean? Like it's pretty impressive in a way.
Thank you. I like it was in the back of my mind, sort of. Cambridge was always like, oh, it would be really great if I could make it there. Like, that would be so cool. But then, obviously, like, when you are applying to sort of top places, you never really fully expect to get in as you're applying.
Sure.
But I knew I wanted to be somewhere that would challenge me as I was going through high school.
Right. And do you find that it's much more difficult at Cambridge than it was at high school, or do you feel like you were really prepared? Like I don't. So I've spoken to people at Oxford. I know they're different, but the teaching methodology at Oxford actually was new to me, but also very interesting. Maybe you can just explain the difference between high school and university and just the different level of challenge.
Okay, so first of all, starting like my first term at Cambridge, I felt like I was completely thrown into the deep end. It was a complete new way of learning for me, and I found it and still find it really, really challenging. In terms of the main difference, I would say with high school, if you think of sort of the student being in the center, and there's all these sources of information like teachers and parents and everyone helping you, and it's just all of that is being pushed towards the student. Whereas in university, you've got like lectures, for us, it's supervisions and extra reading, and it's up to you to be the one to pull that information towards you rather than having it supplied to you. So it's very much about independence and just being organized and sort of choosing the important parts that you're going to read because you can't read everything and it's just a lot of information that's available to you.
Right, I mean, self-study is just a completely different animal, right?
Yeah, it is, and it's really tough.
Well, it's overwhelming in a way, right? Because particularly the way international schools are, I mean, everywhere in the world, not just in Bangkok, right? But you're right, it's very student-centered. So as intense as it is, and I believe Shrewsbury and all the other international schools in Bangkok are very intense, right? No one comes out of it and says, that was simple. Most people come out of it and say, that was really difficult. And yet, where you ended up going to school, the self-study stuff actually is even more intense, right?
Yeah, it's just 10 times, like I'd say like 100 times harder than what I was used to in high school. It's like it made high school seem like a breeze,
Right.
honestly.
But isn't that weird, right? Because when you're in high school, you feel like, why is this so hard? And then you get to university and you're like, why is this even harder?
Exactly. I was like, why am I putting myself through this?
I could have been going to Yale right now. It would have been easier.
Not that that would be any easier.
You don't know that though, right?
I guess not, no.
So tell me, what are you studying at school?
So, my course is called land economy, which the basis of it is law, economics, and their relation to the built environment, the built and natural environment. So it covers like a lot of disciplines.
What does that mean, the built environment?
So the built environment would refer to sort of urban planning and real estate, and so how all these disciplines tie together. And in terms of the natural environment, we talk about sort of climate policies and like carbon credits, things like that. So it's a very multidisciplined and very varied course.
Got it. So, was there something that you studied in high school that led you to choose this concentration, or was it just something that was introduced to you when you got to university and you thought this would be really interesting? Like, how did you decide to do this?
So in high school, I actually had a lot of trouble choosing what I was going to study. I was bouncing between biology, biochemistry, law, economics. I really didn't know what I wanted to do, but I settled in the end on law because that's something that I really wanted to study. But I didn't want to study a degree that was purely law because I wanted to study something more broad and that would give me a more, I don't know, wholesome education. So I thought th this is great because it sort of blended law with other subjects as well.
Right.
Yeah, but for the other universities that I applied to in the UK, I did apply for straight law.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you feel some kind of pressure to go in to pick one discipline? I know that the UK system, at least as it's been explained to me, is very specific in the sense that once you pick a track, you're just on that track, and that's the track you study forever. Whereas in the US, as a freshman, you can study a little bit of economics and government or law or whatever, and then kind of decide in your sophomore or junior year. Was this, did you feel some sort of pressure to pick something early?
Yeah, I felt a huge pressure because I still don't know what I want to do, and I definitely didn't know at all what I wanted to do in high school. So I ended up picking my course really late into year 13. Everyone had already picked their course sort of the year before, but like 2, 3 weeks into year 13, I then picked what I was finally going to apply for.
Okay, so I don't understand how that works. So in high school as well, you had to pick kind of a concentration. And every student has to do that?
Yeah, so we took A levels and we had to pick four subjects.
Right, you did A levels. Yeah, I forgot about that. So what were the A levels that you did?
So I actually did biology, chemistry, economics, and maths.
All the easy stuff. Why did you think it's so easy?
Yeah, I just enjoy science, so that's why I chose those.
That's awesome.
And those keep your options open. So basically, those combination of subjects allow me to apply to any course, whether it be medicine or law. So that's also why I chose those.
So you went to high school in Bangkok and you went to school in Bangkok, you said from year one until year 13, which means that during the entire time that you were in school, you never lived outside of Thailand, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And were you concerned at all about just moving to another country? I presume when you were a kid, you traveled around the world. So fair enough. But traveling somewhere and living somewhere are completely different things, no?
Yeah, they are really different. I wasn't too concerned because I had, okay, so I'd been to England before, and it's sort of different to traveling because I have family there. So it sort of feels it's not a like whole new world that I wasn't used to. And sort of with being in a British school, you have the same educational experience as like a lot of the schools in the UK because we did GCSEs and A levels, so sort of there's similarities there. So it wasn't a complete like I was actually excited to move and sort of learn how to live by myself.
Yeah, I mean, they're just the dynamic of actually leaving home, right? Leaving your home country, leaving home itself, living alone, living in a different place, all those things come together, and then being at a school that's not exactly easy. What is the first term like? Do you know what I mean? Like, are you calling home and saying, oh my gosh, this is really hard? Are you commiserating with your friends? How does that work?
So I didn't actually call home very often. I think I called about twice in the first term. Just because I was so wrapped up in living my life there, because it was really, really busy. I kept really busy all the time. I didn't really get too homesick.
That's cool.
But I did call my friends a lot though, because I still did struggle like with the whole new learning system and sort of making new friends, and it was just very overwhelming. So I found it really helpful to call my friends in similar situations, just talk it out with them, hear a familiar voice who's going through the same thing. Yeah.
Are there other students that you went to school with in high school that are at Cambridge with you in the same year?
Yeah. So in my year group, there are 5 people in total from Shrewsbury.
Wow.
So yeah, that was really nice to have. Like we see each other a lot because we're quite close, like the Thai Society at Cambridge. Yeah.
Yeah. So with all the stuff that you did in high school, right, from an extracurricular perspective, and now that you've brought this up, has that changed in college? Like, do you even have time for that kind of stuff? Like, do you still play sports, or you still do extracurricular stuff? Are you still part of the student government? Like, how does that work at university?
Okay, so at university, there's a lot of choice. That's one thing that I really like. So if you're interested in whatever, you can go join any society. For me, in the first term, I didn't do much at all because I was just trying to settle in. But now I've taken up a lot more extracurriculars, and I still do sports with my college every week. I'm thinking of joining some new sports next year. So I'm still keeping up the extracurriculars because that's something that's really helped me find my footing and like feel like I have a bit more purpose there than studying. Yeah.
But it makes your life more than just one-dimensional, right? I mean, studying is great. It's really important. But having more than one dimension in life, I think, is something you should learn really early on, yeah?
Yeah, it's really, really important, I think.
So what do you do as the Thai Society, inside the Thai Society?
So at the start of the year, I was a sports officer, so I organized Oxbridge games between the two Thai societies. Now I'm the president of the Thai Society. I'm also the internationals representative at my college, and I work also with the Cambridge International Development Society. I'm an events officer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I do college netball. So yeah, those are my main extracurriculars. Netball.
Yeah, what's netball?
It's sort of like bench ball. So you can't move with the ball. So you just like pass it to your team members. And then there are people who like shoot it into a hoop. It's a very British sport.
I was going to say, it sounds like it since I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
Although I did work with a lot of British people when I was at Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs. I don't know. Sounds interesting, but I have no idea what that means. I think I'm going to have to look it up when we're done.
It's a lot of fun. I like it a lot.
Do you ever think when you're at university now and now living in another country that like there were a few things that you wish you would have known? You know, a lot of people always say like, if I'd known that then, I would have done this differently. Is there anything you feel like that about?
Living in another country...
I mean, you're lucky, right? Because you have family there. But I'm just talking about like, you know, just that 1 year difference between being in high school and being in university. So it's really large, I think. I mean, I remember what it felt like for me, and I just felt like a completely different person. And I always thought, like, if someone had just told me, you know, like you said, like this student-led learning, right? It's just so different.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so definitely I would go back and tell myself, like, not to be cheesy, but just to believe in myself and go for things more. Because at the start, I had a huge imposter syndrome. I thought I wasn't good enough to be here. And I really just felt like everybody else was so much smarter and better at writing essays than me. And I just felt like I didn't belong. But then I realized that like we were all sort of like filtered through this application system for a reason, and we're all able to be here. So I would just tell myself just to go for everything, because I am able to, you know, perform well and I can do it. So I just wish that I hit the ground running more.
So imposter syndrome is actually a real thing, and I'll tell you something else. It never goes away.
Right.
But it never does, right? This is really interesting. Like the more, in a way, like the more successful you come, the more you feel like you're faking it in a way. And it's really, I agree with you. Like, I think they should teach this in school, particularly for kids that are excelling, right? Like, you should reinforce the fact that like things are difficult, but that you are really good actually. And that at some point you may feel like there is this thing called an imposter syndrome, and in reality you'll feel that your whole life, but fight through it and just go for things. I think it's a really good lesson actually to teach kids, particularly in high school. High school is fraught with a bunch of issues that no one talks about, but one of them is this feeling of like, do I really belong here? Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And there's so much self-doubt that goes into just sort of every educational experience. Like before exams, I'd be like, "Oh, I can't do this." And just,
Right.
I wish someone would have told me that, like, you can do this if you put your mind to it.
Well, and plus you have done it. Like, so one of the things that I always tell to people when they confront me with, I'm really afraid I'm going to fail. The first question I always ask them is, how many times have you failed in the past? You know what I mean? Like, if you look back historically, and even if you're, 18 or 19 or 17, the track record isn't that long, but it's long enough to know, like, I haven't failed yet. So why will I fail now? Kind of thing.
That's a great thought to have. And then,
Yeah.
yeah, sometimes I say that to myself. And then I just make these excuses like, no, but this time it's different. It's harder. I've
Harder.
never done it before. But then every time in the past, it's been harder than the time before.
But you still
So,
do it, right?
yeah, exactly.
So when do you think it goes away, that feeling of like, I don't belong here?
I feel like it won't go away for me.
But do you ever think about going back to Shrewsbury? Because I used to think about this, of going back to my college actually after I graduated, and just like advising students and saying, if you've come this far already and you've chosen the hardest A levels and you've succeeded, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy after this, but it means you have the potential to actually excel. You know what I mean? Like one of the greatest things you can give back to other students is the experiences you've already had.
Yeah, I think I would love to go back and like talk to people and sort of tell them about my experience, because I think that's really valuable. Like, I really enjoyed when older students would come into like our assemblies and stuff and just give us advice on what they've been through, because I think there's nothing more valuable than that. Like, teachers and counselors, they've probably been through what we have, but a long time ago, so our
Right.
experience is fresh and yeah.
Yeah, so one of the things I think a lot about is that, as close as you are to your parents and as amazing as your parents are, it always feels like there's a little bit of a generational disconnect, if that makes sense. And that's no disrespect meant to anybody's parents. Like, I try as hard as I can to do this, and I'm sure your parents did as well. But it always helps, and this is why I always try to do this. It always helps to have somebody close to your peer group to say, it's going to be okay. Don't you think?
I think so. Someone who's just
They
been
just did
through
it.
it.
They fought through it. They had the same sort of pain and fear that you had, and they were like, you know what? I did it. You can do it. Kind of thing.
Yeah, it's definitely very motivational and it's really helpful to hear.
Yeah, I think so too. Anyway, look, this was a great conversation. And I really appreciate you taking the time out to do this. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your time off and have a safe trip home.
Thank you.
You were awesome. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me. It was really great to talk to you.